Hey, hi everybody. My name is Rich, and this is Nick, my business partner. And we're the co-founders of Rogue Rocket Games. And we're going to show you the game that we made for Windows 8 for a little bit. And then I'm going to go through some of the stuff that we learned about making games with Unity on Windows 8. Quick thing about us, I'm just not going to get into detail with this, but just a little bit about our history. Nick made some of these games up here you see, and he was the founder of Planet Moon Studios. That's where I met him when I was working there. And I made some of this stuff, and I kind of come from LucasArts, which is now, sadly, shot in the face by Disney. Wah, wah. So as Rogue Rocket, these are the things we have live in the market. Sushi Chop was a very simple thing we made at the very beginning with Unity. And we basically made the first version in 1 month with just the two of us while working on the contract for Infected, which we did for Glue, which you see there. And then eventually we made Gunpowder, exclusive for Windows, and Surface for Microsoft. So before we get into nitty-gritty, I'm going to turn it over to Nick here, who's going to show you the game. Oh, where's the sound? Oh, sad. Where's my sound? Hold on. I'm just going to restart really quick. Yeah, I can hear this. There we go.
So this is Gunpowder. This is a game that came about when Rich and I were looking for a mechanic that would work really well on touchscreen and on the PC. And we came up with this concept of using the gunpowder as a trail, as a live fuse to connect fire and explosives together. The game's set in the Wild West, and we use a sort of Robin Hood motif, where we have the evil boss who takes all the money from the poor villagers, and we have our hero who one day comes across a book of Robin Hood. And he reads this book, and he decides to become that hero and take the money back from the evil boss and give it back to the peasants. Here you can see the game is played top-down. And at the top, we have our powder bar to show how much powder we have. We have this tutorial that's telling us that we want to blow up the safe, and we do that by igniting the nearest keg to it. So here we have the powder. It's really simple to lay out and then do multiple paths. And what I need to do is actually get the fire to this barrel to blow up the safe. Safe blown up gives us all the treasure. You can see the boss, he's really irritated, and there's a hero incendio throwing the gold back to the villagers. I'm gonna jump forward to a different mission. Now here we're being taught that the gunpowder can be ignited by the blast of a keg, so we can actually jump gaps. But also in this level, we also have these little piggy banks, and these are like the bonus objects that you can get. You don't have to get those to complete the mission, but in order to blow them up, you have to blow them up before you blow up the safe, so the safe will end the mission. So I'm gonna use this keg to jump across the river here, but I'm gonna blow up the pigs first. So I draw the trail out, and then after those blow up, I draw a separate trail. The big keg. And now I've got the maximum score for that mission. I'm going to jump ahead again. Now, this level was why we were choose to use Unity for this instead of using a 2D engine. It's because we wanted to have chain reactions. So you don't always have enough gunpowder to complete a mission. You have to use the objects in it. Now, in this scene, the safe is stuck up here in these rocks, and we have to get it down before we can blow it up. And now I can also place my own kegs. So I'm going to place this keg here, and that's going to blow this steel wagon across, knock this stick, hit that safe, push it down into my range of my barrel there. And I'll also get my piggies at the same time. Now I need a little bit of time for that safe to fall, so I'm going to scrub off some time by laying a slower trail up here. So you can see just adding a few objects into the scene really starts to make the puzzles much more complicated. And we have over 100 missions in this game, spread over 4 chapters, and with increasing complexity. And I'm going to show you one more mission. Now this mission is set in the mines, and we've got these mine carts that are all full of coal, and then we can use those to carry the fire around the mine. Now our safe is way down here in the bottom. And I've also got this live switch here so I can change the tracks. So we call this a live switch because you have to use it while the game is in action. The previous ones, you set it up and then you triggered the fire and off it went. But now, you actually have to do something while it's burning. Cart goes down, bounces back up the track, I switch it over, rolls through, and gets a safe. And that's gunpowder. Thank you.
Oh. Right. So there we are in the store, hanging out in the top paid games right now. Hopefully we stay there a long time as the everything grows in popularity and stuff. Okay, so let's talk about actually making stuff for Windows 8. As with any system, there's pros and cons. Right now, the majority of the cons have to do with the fact that it's new and people are still adopting it, and the store is a new concept to them. So it's sort of in its nascent stages. So just running through this really quick. Good thing, well, if it's a new store, there's less competition. There's not, whatever there is in the iOS store now, like 500,000 apps or something, there's less stuff for you to compete against. One of the things is my as a programmer in particular, and my programming team, as a developer-friendly environment, Microsoft is like, top tier, hands down best developer tools compared to other environments. From what we can tell, the store is growing every day, so even if the really huge audiences of other platforms aren't there yet, we feel that there's a good possibility that they may be there someday. And the people who are there, they are actually hungry for content, as far as we can tell. And on the con side, it's just kind of the reverse of those things. There's not a lot of users yet, comparatively. The store itself, we think, needs a little bit of additional maturity. It's a little hard to find things. And discovery and channels aren't there yet. So, if you think about the mobile platforms out there, there's a lot of things that people can do, like buy ads in these different networks, and the networks are all deployed, and people have banners everywhere. That stuff's not really all there yet, but hopefully some enterprising people are going to go in there and actually create these channels. By the way, I'm going to be keeping it a little bit light, so if you have questions about stuff later, you can ask. Okay, so talking specifically about Unity 3D and developing for Windows 8, first, it is a new platform, and we were using the alpha/beta stuff. So there was some trickiness, but frankly, nothing that was terribly out of the ordinary for a new platform. Having been around for a while, you know, we've done things on like all kinds of burgeoning platforms like the PSP or PS2. Like, it was way more difficult to get up and running on those things in comparison. For us, we were Microsoft published, so we used Xbox Live. If you're interested in using Xbox Live, you have to talk to somebody at Microsoft Publishing, and I can't talk too much about that because I'm not sure how that works if you're not Microsoft published. One key difference, which I'm sure has been covered by now, but just to reiterate it, the Windows 8 version of Unity 3D is not running through Mono as it is on other platforms. It's running through the RT/.NET framework. So, you know, for the most part, it's running like anything that's not Unity. So your path's a little bit different, and some APIs and things don't work quite the same as it would in other Unity deployments. I believe the guy doing the next talk is actually going to dive in a little deeper. So you can wait for that. But one really nice thing about this is when you go and deploy your application, you get to use Visual Studio for native and managed debugging. I don't know how many of you guys have done any development outside of Unity, but for those of you who know, Visual Studio is pretty awesome. So this is a basic workflow. You author your stuff in Unity 3D as you normally would. There's a build step as it normally would be. You get end up with a Visual Studio project, which can be C# and or C++. It's really similar to the iOS Xcode deployment. If you're building on iPhone, you end up with an Xcode project, and you don't end up with the final product as you would on like Android, where you get an APK. And then you build from Visual Studio, and you wind up with an AppX or a debug deployed thing to Windows Modern UI. Quick blur about Visual Studio. If you've never used it, Visual Studio is the bomb. Like, if all you know is Mono Develop, you have no idea. It's so much better. And just to give you an example, here's a picture of one of my programmers, David, when asked about Mono Develop. Frankly, I think Mono Develop's pretty good for being a totally free thing, but when I told him, hey, guess what? You're going to be able to debug with Visual Studio. Woohoo! He's so happy! Quick list of some notable pitfalls we came across. The WAC, if you haven't heard about this yet, I'm sure someone's mentioned it by now, but it's the Windows Application Certification Kit or something like that. It's sort of annoying to get through that stuff, but it actually is useful because it'll kind of find problems with your application before you actually try to submit it. One thing that totally bit us really hard was the Windows Store API, if you're using like trials or in-app purchases. They basically set it up so that they actually have a different API calls for if you're doing debug, if you're doing release, which means you get in that scary position of you're running different code when you're testing than when you're actually deploying, and there's no way to test the real store thing until your thing is really in the store. As far as I know, this is an issue that's bitten a bunch of people, and they're aware of it, and you know, somebody up in the ether of Microsoft is thinking about this problem. Right now, the Unity Windows 8 startup time, in particular on the Surface, is a bit slow, so this will kind of bite you on the whack. You get failed on slow startup time, potentially. There's some tricks you can do to avoid this, and I believe this is something that Unity is actively working on to get it better so you don't have to jump through so many hoops. A sneaky one is that managed native boundary performance can be a place where you're losing speed, and that what that means is basically if you're doing stuff in Unity code and you're trying to talk to the Windows layer, for lack of a better way to describe it, there can be a performance hit there. So don't do that too often. Luckily, you won't run into that many circumstances where you want to do that like every frame or anything like that, I hope. There is some sort of nascent 3D driver support issues, being that Windows 8 is fairly new. So test your stuff and see if anything weird happens. And on the Surface, there are some performance issues, but frankly, they're not that difficult than the typical ARM stuff. So if you're meaning to deploy in both ARM and x86, make sure you're doing your Surface testing early on, because like it's a lot more like the iPad, so load times could be a little slow. Full screen effects will kill you. If you have too many draw calls, that'll kill you. Complex shaders can be pretty slow. I'm not 100% sure where we are at with excessive alpha overdraw, but that was an issue back in the iOS days, earlier iOS days. So we didn't run into that one too much, but we were trying to be aware of it the whole time. We wanted to do interesting tile updates for the live tiles on the modern UI. They're a little tricky. They're like, I think they're JSON-based, like suddenly blanking on what it was. But basically, what I ran into was if you pass it bad JSON or whatever it is, it ends up kind of just silently failing, and you don't know why your tile didn't update, and you get really mad. So just double check the output that it's generating and then making sure that it's matching the templates they publish on the MSDN help sites. And then finally, there's this whole thing about GDF files and ratings. So in particular in games, you need to have a GDF file so it can tell what your age rating is. And how you do that is kind of buried in a nest of help files. So if you look up GDF files, you should be able to find what you need. I'm going to go through a few tips and tricks for stuff that we discovered and used along the way. I'll start with some XAML tricks. So XAML is sort of the way in which you can author modern UI interfaces. The first thing I want to talk about is the XAML splash screen. So we use this in order to get over that hurdle that I kind of alluded to where Unity was taking too long to start up. And generally, the current accepted way to deal with that, the fast way to deal with that, is to have a XAML screen pop up over on top of Unity to display whatever it is you want while Unity is spinning up. There's some trickiness like managing the threads and stuff, but basically you have to keep your UI thread active so that Windows doesn't go, you're frozen, die! You just have to make sure that the application is interactive. So when I start up the game, you may have noticed that you saw this screen with a gunpowder. Well, you didn't see this loading screen because on the PC it loads too fast. But the splash screen said like Microsoft and Rogue Rocket Games. Those are all in XAML, so those are completely outside of Unity. It does mean you have to dive in and learn about development on Windows outside of Unity, but I didn't find it that hard. It has a lot of interesting tools. You can like animate things around the screen. So one thing to be aware of is if you do too much, it'll actually slow down Unity's loading even more because the interactive UI thread is taking up a lot of the resources. And the other thing that we did that was pretty tricky is the loading screen you saw is actually just a video. Because we wanted a really nice, smooth loading screen, and you know, Unity's async loading doesn't always keep a nice, consistent frame rate, we thought it'd be cool to have this video playing on top of everything. So this little loading video is actually just playing in XAML land over on top of Unity. Now, it does cause Unity to load a bit slower between scenes, but frankly, the nice interactive video is so nice, people actually liked it better, so we just kept it this way. All right, the Fry has nothing to do with anything. I just was doing code snippets, so I wanted to spruce it up a little bit. So just a quick blurb on how we communicated from Unity land to Windows 8 C# land. There's kind of two ways to do it. One's a plugin approach where you can pre-compile plugins. This is not covered here because we didn't do it this way. This push didn't exist when we started. But basically that comes down to you compile two versions of the same plugin with the same interface, one for mono and one for Windows RT / Windows 8 land. What we did was basically we did Windows 8 side delegate registration. I don't know if that's what it's called, it's what I call it. But basically it comes down to we create these delegates you see here, and in Windows 8 side, because it's all compiled through the same .NET compiler thing, you just set these delegates on the Windows 8 side. And then from Unity side, when you call those delegates, it actually winds up calling the Windows 8 code. You can grab results from that and stuff. There's documentation in the forums, I believe, on Unity. So this is mostly just to make you aware of that this exists. The next thing I want to get into is some MS Build and CS project hacking, because we found this a good productivity win. This stuff was not stuff that you may discover if you're not familiar with Visual Studio, just that I happen to do stuff in the past, so I brought some of that knowledge. Explosion code sample. Conditional build steps. I found this really useful because sometimes you want to include different things in your build depending on if you're in like debug or release or whatever. And the underlying MS build and CS project files support this 100%. It's just that it's not exposed in Visual Studio, the IDE. So you actually have to edit the XML file if you want to do this stuff. But in this case, you can see I'm using a different appx manifest, which defines like various variables and things that you pack into your appx at build time. So you can see here I'm like putting in a different appx manifest depending on if I'm in release or not in release. this was a huge time saver for us, and we removed a bunch of points of error of human error. So I really recommend doing this if you're not afraid of editing your project files. And then finally, command line building with MS Build. PowerShell is your friend. PowerShell's actually been around for a long time, as I understand, but it's actually with Windows 8 on every install, so it has a lot of powerful commands and stuff that you can get really deep into, and it's kind of terrifying, but very powerful. MS Build itself is very powerful, although it's a little under-documented, in my opinion. But if you look around online, you can find all the different things you can do with it. And there's a little blurb about how you actually run MS Build for command line, so you can make your app access from command line instead of having to go through all the pull-down menus to make your app access. So, you know, if you have a particularly beefy machine, you can make, I was making like 6 builds at the same time, and just, you know, a big time saver. So, you know, once we had all that in place, wow, that went really fast. Once we had all that in place, it was really easy to port another one of our games to Windows 8 because I built all this framework stuff in a very generic way. So, you know, once we were done with Gunpowder, we took all the stuff and we just kind of said, well, we have this other product called Sushi Chop. Let's see if we can get it out there. And really, like, the first version for Windows 8, it only took, like, I don't know, 2 days or something after I had all that stuff. So, you know, we put it out there on March 24th. One thing we tried on this that we didn't have in Gunpowder is we used Microsoft Advertising Pub Center. And that's Microsoft's solution for having banner ads and, well, a lot of different ad unit types. And, you know, there's some numbers. They're not really that meaningful right now because it hasn't been in the store that long. But you can see people tend to like it. It's good, I guess. One word about Pub Center. It's another thing that's sort of like it's in its early stages right now. So you're not going to get the fill rate that you might expect from some of the stuff on iOS or Android. But I've been promised that it's going to get better. So really quick Sushi Chop demo. It's a pretty simple game. We've sort of just added to it over time over the last year and a half or so. Oh, no sound again. Sad. Oh. All right. So this is kind of our take on the whole, like, chopping genre, except we kind of wanted to give it a theme that would, oops. Ah, man, I failed already. To give it a theme that's a little bit more directive, like, give the player a little bit more of a purpose to what they're doing. So in this case, it's a more advanced mode, and you're actually chopping fish to order, so you can see these little order cards coming up. And we have a bunch of different, like, knives and power-ups and stuff, and, like, a challenge mode, and... Whee! So, like, that power-up makes the stinky fish frozen, so when you slice them accidentally, nothing terrible happens to you. Whee! See, I'm pushing our own product there at the bottom. And as you can upgrade your power-ups and stuff, and this is more of like a free-to-play model. So we both have sort of a premium model and free-to-play model up in the store. We're going to see how both of them do. And because it's a new market, there's different kinds of people in there, so the same rules don't necessarily apply as other markets. So be ready to discover. Anyway, so that's Sushi Chop. Very simple, but fun. Where am I? Okay, and that's kind of it. Thanks for listening. I kind of talked too fast, so it was a little bit shorter than I meant it to be. But if anyone has any questions about any of those parts or anything, anybody? Bueller? How long did Gunpowder take to make? From the moment of signing to launch, I think it was around 6 months. We had a core team of 5 people and a few contractors we pulled in and out for various things. And that's like pretty much starting from scratch with software. In the back? Where did I end up using delegates the most? In particular, things that you can't do through the normal Unity API for Windows 8. So I doubt I can come up with all of them off the top of my head. But for example, controlling the live tiles, for example, there's no like Unity calls like go change the live tile. Let me think. All the Xbox Live stuff, but that's not necessarily relevant to everybody. Or snapping, like, hey, I want to know from application level that I snap so I can respond to it. What else? Like the settings thing? So here, I'll show you. So like, if you want to change your settings, you go to the charm bar. So when you go to here, you have all this stuff. So this thing is built in XAML. So then if I want to actually, like, you know, experienced Unity developers will recognize these settings, right? But XAML has to talk to Unity to tell them to change. So that's a delegate I get registered. What else? We use delegates for actually saving files to disk. I'm not sure what the condition is at right now out of the box of Unity, but at the time, the built-in Unity file stuff didn't work when we started, so we ended up using delegates for all that stuff. Anything else? Handling, kind of keeping track of asynchronous operations. I don't know, lots of stuff. I can almost probably look right here. I think I have Visual Studio open somewhere here, but. Oh, so this is XAML here. Oh, sorry. That's XAML. XAML editor. So you can see, like, you can just move stuff around. Whee! Well, I probably shouldn't get too deep into this, but lots of stuff. Basically, stuff having to do with, like, controlling how your game interacts with the Windows 8 modern UI environment. That stuff all ended up being delegate-driven for us.
Have you done XAML before?
Say again?
Have you done XAML before?
No. Oh, the question was, did I have ever done XAML before? Answer, no. 0%. But I found it, like, you know, pretty reasonably easy to understand. You know, the visual editor helps, but really, when you come down to it, you kind of need to get into the code here if you want to do anything interesting. But you know, if you're familiar with like HTML or any of these XML-based formats, it's not dissimilar. You just have to know what all the commands are. So you know, don't be afraid of it. Question is, which part of the game took most of the time? Difficult question to answer. I would say just pound for pound, just making levels probably took the longest because, as you saw. Gunpowder is like, it's a lot of, we basically decided that we needed to make 200 levels to get 100 shippable ones, so that's what we did. Actually, probably made more than 200, so that's just a lot of content generation. In terms of, like, engineering or programming, I don't know, just, it's kind of spread out all over the place. I have to say, I initially underestimated how much work it was to get all the Windows 8 stuff to work. But that may not be the same story now, because again, we started when we were in the alpha state of the Unity Windows 8 stuff, so there was a lot of stuff that was being real-time learned, even by the Unity team. I don't know if that's a helpful answer, but in the back. Say again? Oh, there's questions on the monitor? It's off. I don't see anything. Yeah. Question is, how did I determine performance requirements for the game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I can see it now. How do you determine performance requirements? Oh, okay. So, well, we were working with Microsoft First Party, so they kind of just determined that for us. They said, here's your minimum spec. And honestly, the Surface kind of was the minimum spec, so if you can get your hands on the Surface, that's a pretty good starting point. That's about it, I guess. There's more up there. Joseph, is a XAML control the best way to integrate the Microsoft Advertising SDK, or has Unity implemented a better technique for that? As far as I know, Unity has not implemented a better technique for that, and XAML is the best way to do it, but frankly, it's very easy, so don't worry about it. It's cool, dude. Imran, sorry if I pronounced your name wrong. How did you handle keyboard input from Unity or Win8? The normal Unity input class stuff works fine, so we just used it. There's no virtual keyboards or anything like that. We didn't have to like enter in any usernames. So if you need to do that level of user input where you don't know if they have a keyboard, we just didn't handle that. So I don't know the answer to that, other than use input. Any other questions? Hey, World Webcast, last chance, questions. Don't make me dance, you won't like it. If you would like them to, I don't know if there's like some present like policy for this particular thing, but yes, the answer is yes. The slides will be available. Do I see something over here? Anybody? Okay. Well, that's it. I'll just put up this last slide again in case anyone wants to email me with some questions or whatever, or if you just want to tell me how cool our game is, I'm down with that. There's my email. That's my real email. It's not filtered, so please don't spam me. And that's it. Thank you.